Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And I usually get up here and do the announcements and everything. So it's different this time. So let's do that one more time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There we go. We've been praising God and worshiping Him, and it's been so amazing this morning. You look around, we don't really have a full house, but sitting up here on the front, it filled like a full house. Wow. It just felt like it. The presence of God is so strong today. I just can feel His Spirit. It's on every single one of us. Yes. It's just such an amazing, amazing day. I don't know if you guys know, this is my husband, Pastor Tim. I'm Pastor Diane. We're here to give you a word today. So it was a challenge coming up with this word. You know, whenever you feel like God's called you to do something and you try to do it and you have challenges and things that kind of get in the way, you know. Yes. You know that that's from God because the devil's trying to stop you from doing it. Right. So we had difficulties trying to organize all this, and then, you know, the devil threw a wrench into my emotions, you know, last night. So just, you know, while we're up here, just say a prayer for me and for my dad. My dad is got taken to the hospital last night, and so I know he's fine because I'm doing my father's business. I'm doing God's business. Yeah. So he's going to take care of my business and my dad's business.
Amen.
So he's in his hands. Yeah. Even though I can't be there with him, I know he's going to be okay because God's got him.
That's right.
God's got him in his hand. So just say a prayer that, you know, they get it all straightened out and he gets to go home and that the devil stops playing with my emotions.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Amen. So we're praying and asking God what he'd want us to share with you guys. And we came up with the question, what is your identity? So there's a lot of questions about who we are today, even though sometimes it's pretty plain to see, as far as I'm concerned, who we are, you know, and it's pretty plain what God says who we are. But that's what we're going to talk about today, because there's a problem as far as identity crisis for the world and even for the church. So what is your identity? The definition of identity is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. It's a fact. This is the fact of who you are, the truth of who you are.
Right.
The definition of identity crisis is a period of uncertainty and confusion in which a person's sense of identity becomes insecure. Okay? So this is a tactic of the enemy. You know what? If the enemy can distract you or get you to think that you're something other than what he created you to be or has called you to be, then guess what? He's going to get you off task, all right?
Yes.
And to the point where he wants you to be is completely ineffective, you know? If you're trying to be or thinking you're something that you're not, you're going to be completely ineffective in it. Because if God called you to be this and you wind up trying to act and be this, then well, guess what? You're not going to have the impact that God called and created you to be, right? So Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, what's this mean? Guess what, guys? Whether you know or understand it or not, inside of you, you've been created to be just like Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
Just like Jesus. You know what? We can't see in the spirit, but God sees. And when he sees us as a son or daughter, just like Jesus. Jesus was the first among many brethren. He was the first. So now we are just like him.
That's right.
Okay? This is the identity that God has given us. This is the identity that we need to identify with, okay? Nothing else, just that we are to be like Christ,
amen.
Okay? So when we think or act or speak differently than who we really are, which is sons and daughters of God, just like Jesus, then we have an identity crisis. We're all of a sudden, we're over here trying to do something or be something that we are not, and we will not be effective in it, okay? So God, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, He walked in power and dominion. Everywhere he went, he walked in power and dominion. He knew who he was. He told everybody who he was. He was the Son of God, right? And he proved it. He did miracles that nobody had ever seen before, you know? He was able to say things that nobody even dared to say, right? And that's how we should be too. You know, if we're not ruffling some feathers of those religious people or the government and everything, guess what? We're not being Jesus here on the earth. We're not being Christians. We're not being who we are, who we truly are in Christ. Okay? So Jesus is the king, right? And we are to act as kings and priests here on the earth.
That's right.
Right? So we are Christians. All right, so number one says identity is who you are. It's how you view yourself, and in some circles, it's how the world may view you. Your identity speaks to the character that defines you, okay? Your character is how you act, how you think, how you react to others, all right? And this comes from the heart. But, you know, as Jesus acted as king, when he walked the earth, so we do, right? Now, the devil wants to think, I'm going to do an analogy here, right? The devil wants to think, instead of being eagles, which in the bird realm, the eagle's the king, right? He soars above everyone. But the devil is trying to get us to think that we're chickens.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
So that's how I want you to think, is the devil's trying to convince you you're a chicken and really you're an eagle. How silly it is if you could see an eagle, you know, pretending or thinking he's a chicken, you know? And guess what? That's how ludicrous it is for us as Christians to act like mere human beings. Because
right.
We have been changed into the exact likeness, the exact image that is Jesus.
Amen.
We are his brethren. We are to walk like, talk like, act like, dress like Jesus.
Yeah.
To this earth, here on the earth, and reign and rule like he did when he was here on the earth, right? You know, chickens run from snakes, but what does eagles do? They have them for dinner. You know, when the devil comes, what happens? A chicken runs away, but not an eagle. The eagle looks at it and goes, dinner. Right? You know, the lion is the king of the animal kingdom, you know? And guess what? He doesn't walk around afraid of anything. Matter of fact, he's roaring out loud saying, I am the king. That's who I am. And you know what? We should be out there saying, you know, I am the Son of God. I am loved and I am cared for.
So he'd let him go and he'll just keep going and going and going. All great stuff. But I'm going to back it up just a little bit, honey, okay?
Sure.
So we talked about, you gave the definitions of identity and it's our characteristics. But how does the world really see you? We know how we want the world to see us, how the world should see us with Christ in us. And we're supposed to be as Christ and live as Christ and be that eagle. But what does the world know you as? So just a few examples. Growing up, you know, I was always Richard and Nancy's daughter. I was always Scott and David's little sister. My brothers were big football stars at the school. They were popular. They were in the in crowd. Then I come along, and I was never called Diane in school. I was always called, hey, it's David's little sister. Hey, it's Perryman's little sister. That's who I was called. That was what the world knew me as. That's who I was. You know, then as I got older, you know, I became known as Sarah's mommy. Hi, Sarah's mommy. Hey, it's Sarah's mommy, Sarah's daddy. Hi, Sarah's mommy. So, you know, you have your own identity. Usually as a child, you end up with a nickname, you know. You know, Boo, or Tim had a nickname when he was little. He was called Little Timmy because his dad was Tim, so he was Little Timmy. Still sticks, he's still Little Timmy. But, you know, you give your kids nicknames and, you know, little love names, and that's what they're not. That's their identity, and they grow up. You know, I won't tell you what my nickname was. It was Dino. I was Dino. So that was my nickname. And then I got to be known as, you know, The one at church growing up, I was the one that ran around and kicked all the men in their shins. I was so nice. I'd go around and kick them in their shins because they picked on me. You know, they had other nicknames for me that wasn't very nice, but they picked on me. Now I'm known for, I'm Diane. You know, I think I have my own identity, but I'm Pastor Tim's wife. I'm the cinnamon roll girl. You know, so, I mean, we all are associated with something. We all are given an identity, and that's how the world sees us. You know, so just like Ina's challenge this morning, you know, not speaking any negativity, I don't want to be known as the one that spoke negativity, you know, at church, at work, in the neighborhood, wherever I go. I don't want to be the one that's known, oh, here comes negative Nelly again, you know. So we can create our own identity, and we need to have Christ's identity because he's within us. So we need to be positive, speak his word, speak peace, speak joy, speak love, and none of that negativity. So I think we should all take Ina's challenge to heart. Amen. You know, and you're also, we'll go to fill in number two. We are known for who we associate with. So be careful who you identify with, who you hang around with, because you become who you identify, you know, who you hang out with. You're guilty by association. You know, sometimes you're even identified and got a label put on you because of how you dress. Well, look at her. She's got that short skirt on and that low top. Woo, I'm going to see if I can take her on a date because, you know, she's probably going to be easy. I mean, I'm just going to say it like it is. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to sugarcoat anything today. We're going to try to speak the truth. So you dress a certain way, people think of you as a certain way. And is that the image you want portrayed about who you are, about your identity?
Especially in Christ.
Especially in Christ. You speak one thing. Now, can you do the walk?
All right.
If you speak it, you got to do the walk. If you proclaim it, you need to be able to do the walk. You can proclaim, I'm an eagle flying high above, but I walk through that door and I'm a quack, 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 quack. So you got to, if you're going to fly like an eagle, talk like an eagle, fly like an eagle, soar like an eagle that he has made us to be.
That's right.
So there's another really good story. I love this story, honey. You got to share the story about the pants.
So I had a fellow that I worked with when I was doing electrical work. He's an older fellow who had spent a lot of time in jail. So he liked to make lots of jokes, but one thing that he thought was absolutely hilarious is a lot of the young, he called them young bucks, would wear their pants real low and show their underwear. Well, you know what? He would laugh at them. Him and his buddies would sit on the porch, and as they walked by, he would say, "Who be is you?" And I'm not going to say the whole word, because it's not polite, and they would get mad. He goes, "No, you don't understand. In jail, that meant you belong to someone.
Uh-oh.
So you don't even know what you're portraying."
Wow.
You know, when you wear your clothes a certain way, do certain things, it says something. Whether you want to say that or not, you know, I know it says you can't judge a book by its cover, but you know what? That's the first thing they see, and that's the only thing they see sometimes. So the only thing they have to work with is what they see on the outside. So you need to be careful what you're wearing and what you're doing and what it associates you with. Because that's all we do, that's all we see. It may be that they look at you one time and they completely cut you off. Like they've already judged you and said, "Well, I don't want to have anything to do with this person."
Yeah, so not only like who we associate with, but then we put labels upon ourselves. It's like you go to somebody, "Hi, I'm Diane." "Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen George Melton III, and I am, you know, or I'm a lawyer. I'm a, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm this." We tend to come up with our highest, whatever our highest
social standing,
our highest accomplishment, because we think, you know, we have power in that. And everybody wants the most power. They want the most status, the highest thing possible. You know, even think about, yeah, I know this actor. He is so amazing. He can do all these different accents. And oh my gosh, he's just, you know, his name is David Dollar. You know, he's like, "Have you heard of David Dollar?"
Oh,
well, he's
definitely, I've heard of him.
You know, he's so famous. He's my friend, you know. You know, people, and I'm as guilty as anybody out there, because I catch myself doing the same thing. get to talking at work about different things, actors and so and so. I go, well, yeah, well, you know who went to school with me? Or went to the school where my mom worked? Brad Pitt did. Yeah, he's from my hometown. That's right. Brad Pitt is from my hometown. Like, that's going to give me any more status in the world. Yeah. It sounds really cool, right? Yeah, it sounds really cool. Or, you know, I'm from this place, and you know what goes on there? Or I get to hang out with, you know, all these stars. So I'm trying to make myself popular or have a higher status by association. But you know what? Who is the most powerful of them all? And we sung about it today. Do you know who my friend is? My friend is God. I am a friend of God. What higher status can I get than being a friend of God? Oh, wait a second. There is one higher. I'm a child of God. I am a princess. I'm royalty. That's why I've got my purple on today.
My purple.
Got my purple on because I'm royalty. You know, so that's who I'm going to associate myself with. So we are known for what people see in us, and they put labels on us. And when they put labels on us, we tend to think that about ourselves. So the enemy uses them to warp how we see ourselves. So we need to get rid of the negativity, speak positive, and what who we believe in our heart we truly are, which I believe is probably your next fill-in. Number three, who you believe you are in your heart is who you are. So in Proverbs 23:7, if we can put that up, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I believe in my heart with all my might that I am a child of God, I am blessed, I am highly favored, I am loved, I am not the tail, I am the head. Amen. You know, I am powerful. I have the blood of Jesus running through me, like we said in communion. I have the Holy Spirit within me. I have the same power Jesus had when he was on the earth, the power he used to heal the sick, to raise the dead. It's not me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus through me. I'm just an instrument. But gosh, I mean, I want to be known for that. That's what I want to be identified as.
Amen, amen. So your heart is important because in your heart is what God looks at. This is your true character, where your true character comes from, how you wind up speaking, acting, and reacting to those things. And so the only way, what happens is, people portray stuff on us, treat us a certain way. And because they do that, then all of a sudden we start believing, you know, well, maybe that's what I am, you know. If they walk around and every time they see you, they go, loser, you know. And everybody does it. What's going to happen? Well, dang, maybe I'm a loser, you know. All of a sudden you accept that and it gets in your heart. And guess what? You start acting like a loser, you know. And we can't do that. We can't put weight on those things, you know, and allow those things to get in our heart.
That's right.
Because it starts here. And when we accept it, it gets in our heart. And then that's then how we act, how we speak, how we act, how we react.
Like, how many people, I mean, this has happened to me as a little girl. You know, I'm a larger woman, you know, I admit it. I'm working on it. I'm trying. That's just, you know, we're dealing with it. But as a child, you get that stigma. I was known as the chubby neighborhood girl, the fat neighborhood girl. That's what they called me. That's what some of the you know, the neighbors in the neighborhood would call me. Well, go see what the chubby girl's doing. Go find the chubby girl. You know, that hurts after a while. Or have you ever been like, oh, you're unworthy. You know, you messed up. God will never forgive you. Mm. Like, you'll never be able to forgive yourself. And if you can't forgive yourself, do you think God can forgive you? Those are all lies. They're lies. Those are little fiery darts that the enemy sends to us. Little fiery darts. So if you look at number...
You skipped a five.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one. Four, we must recognize it is the enemy that is using the world and people to influence us and who we are. So when the world and the people are friends, our family even... I mean, the devil is no, like, God's no respecter of person. The devil doesn't care who he uses to bring us down. He's manipulative, and he lies to them, and he's deceitful. And he's going to do whatever he can to keep you from fulfilling your destiny with God. Because everyone in here has a destiny. You all are made with a purpose. You all have an assignment that God has put in your heart for you to do. And the devil doesn't want you to. Because when you do accomplish what God has called you to do, you are going to further his kingdom and bring people into the kingdom. And the devil doesn't want that. So he's going to try to destroy you. And if he can get you to question who you are in Christ, then he's won. And he's made you that chicken. We're going to be an eagle.
That's right.
We're going to be eagles. So number five, the world is telling us lies. These are the fiery darts of the enemy. These little darts that he's throwing at us. And these fiery darts can be, like Tim said, oh, you're a loser. Oh, you're ugly. You're a horrible dad. You're a horrible mom. You know, your kids are unruly. You're just terrible. You're a bad grandpa. Why couldn't you be a better aunt? You know what? God can't use you. You know why? Because 10 years ago, you did that, and you know what? That is unacceptable. You'll never, ever, ever amount to anything. So what happens is, have you ever tried to start a fire with like a stone or with a spark or even just a match, just a little spark? And if it's right, it starts a flame, you know? So when you get this little fiery dart in your mind and you think about it, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I am a loser. Am I really a loser? The devil's like, yeah, you are. You're a loser. Oh, man, you're no good. You can't do anything for the kingdom of God. Well, who do you think you are? You don't know anybody. You don't have any money. Nobody's going to listen to you. You can't do anything. Oh, gosh, I can't do that. Gosh, pastor asked us to speak. I can't do that, honey. I'm nothing. I'm just a loser. That flame's glowing. It's growing up. And then you know what you have? You have the world over here on the side going, that's right, looking at us. And the world is fanning it. And that flame is getting bigger and bigger. It's like starting a campfire. You know, if you don't put it out, you're going to create a forest fire, and it can bring you down and destroy everything that God has done, has planned for you.
That's right.
The devil will start that forest fire to destroy all of the plans that he has made for you. So, again, you know, the enemy is going to try to use whoever as just a spark to influence you to turn away from God. And again, I'm going to bring back to Ina's challenge. One little negativity thing can spark a fiery dart. One little negative thing can be that fiery dart. And you say it, it can hit somebody else, and it can also spark a fire in you that is not a good fire.
That's right. So, you know, when an enemy uses a fiery dart, really, it's really easy to go and put it out. But he's hoping it's left alone and it'll spread. And then it doesn't become controllable, all right? And it consumes. And it takes a whole lot more effort. But there's a lot of times there's a lot of loss going on. So it's important that we recognize the enemy's lies right away. And we put the fire out immediately. Immediately. All right? Because we don't want it to spread. And then we need to respond in a positive way what God says to it.
So if you look at Ephesians 6:16.
It's over here.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you dive into the word of God. You dive into what he is saying. You listen to his word, the truth, to put that fire out. You're going to quench it with the Holy Spirit.
So number six, it says, it's up to you to choose and allow what takes root in your heart. Okay. We need to be defensive and offensive. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5-6.
4-6.
It says, for the weapons of our warfare, and what, you know, one of the weapons we just talked about was the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, but are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. So this is where the battle is going on, is in your thoughts, into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We have weapons that God has given us. I'm going to go ahead and read, let's see, where are we? Oh, Ephesians 6:17 also, and then I'll share something. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to be to quench all the fire darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. look, our faith comes from the Word of God, and the Word of God is our sword. So when that fiery dart comes, when that lie comes, we have to recognize that it is a lie, and we don't have to accept it. We need to put it out. So we raise that shield of faith, says, no, devil, that is not who we are. All right. Now, then you react. You come back with the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God says, like Jesus said to the devil, it is written. It is written. And you tell him the word, because that is what's going to defeat that word. What you want is, you don't want it to take root in your heart. How does the devil get it there? It gets it planted in your mind. You think about it. You think about it. You might accept it. Well, maybe that's true. And then all of a sudden, it gets into your heart. And then it becomes part of who you are. Well, you don't want that to happen. You only want good things to get in your heart, right? All the things that God has said about you, who you really are, the Bible says. That's what you want to get down there. So if someone says something, yep, that's, yeah, oh, you are a child of God. I know you are. That's right. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to let that go right to my heart, you know. But if they're saying, you know what, you're a failure. You know, you'll never get these things right. You've sinned too many times to be used. What are you thinking? No, no, no. I thank God that he has qualified. I don't take that. I thank you that he has qualified me. By his blood, I have been made righteous. The very righteousness of God. God can use me. Not because of what I did, but because of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to allow to go in my heart. So it's both defensive and offensive. And it is both comes from the Word of God.
So I want to back up and make a comment here. This is not going to be probably very popular, but I just really feel like, you know, we're talking about lies that the world tells us. You know, I mean, most of us in here are older. You know, we've been told a lot of lies. We can kind of see the truth and see what's going on. But who we really need to protect are our children. There's so many things out there that are affecting our kids on TV, in the schools. I mean, you don't know what they're teaching in the schools unless you go and you sit in on the classrooms. And they don't want the parents to do that, because they know what they're teaching and some of these things is not right and would not be accepted by the whole public as a whole. So just keep in mind that on TV, it talks about showing on TV shows, showing on everywhere else, all these alternate lifestyles, and that it's okay. Well, you guys need to dig into the Word and see what the Word says about it. And find the truth. Because that's a lie. The enemy is trying to steal our identity by telling us it's okay. The enemy is trying to lie to us and tell us it's okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to be like that. It's okay to dress however you want. It's okay to act however you want. You know. And you all know what I'm talking about. So we just need to be mindful of what is going on. And it's more of, you know the little song, be careful little ears what you hear, be careful little eyes what you see. We need to take that to heart and protect our little ones. Excellent. Protect their ears, protect their eyes, protect their heart.
Tell them the truth.
You know, they need to know what the Word says about them. They need to know what the Word says they are. They were created in God's image. God's image is perfect.
That's right.
There are no mistakes. God created us a certain way, to be a certain way, to live a certain way. And we live for him. That's right. That's right. You know, and you know, this matter hits hard to home, but it's something that needs to be brought up and we need to see.
Amen. You know, we gave the illustration about eagles and chickens, you know. In the world, you know, it's almost like, you know, the rooster is trying to be a hen and lay an egg. Well, it's just silly, but that's how silly it is to me when a man tries to be a woman. It's not right. It's not true. It's not how God created us. He created man and woman, not man to man or women with women. It was man and woman, okay? God created us specifically to fulfill his roles and his plans and purposes in our lives, all right? So that there could be somewhere that our children could live, be loved, protected, and kept. And it comes from one man and one woman.
It's like on your fill-in, on your sheet, number 7, rejecting worldly behaviors and customs is imperative in embracing your true identity in Christ. The world is trying to make it, you know, That's just part of our custom. People like to do that. That's, you know, that's part of behavior. That's what they're doing. All the kids are doing it now. All the people are doing it now. It's a fun, it's a party gimmick. You know, we need to reject that. And the verse for that is Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? So, again, go back to the Word. Renew your mind daily. Meditate on the Word. It will tell you what is the truth.
That's right. It says that you may prove. You need to prove out that Word, you know, through the Word of God. You know, you need to prove that it is true before you allow it to get in your heart. Okay? You need to arrest it, say, no, I don't believe that. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with me. It needs to go. But what I believe is this, which is the Word of God.
That's right. You have to actively reject it. Speak it. Our words are powerful. We're going to speak it out, actively reject it, and speak the truth, which is the Word of God.
So, you know, we watch the Hallmark Channel. And unfortunately, on the Hallmark Channel, they've got a lot of advertisements for drugs, you know. And so all of a sudden, there's one comes on for diabetes or high blood pressure or whatever. And I immediately say, no, that doesn't have anything to do with me. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I'm like, no, shield. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Now I'm going to say, look, what God's word says is this. By his stripes, I was healed. You know, God said, it has nothing no long to do with me because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So I immediately go, no, either that or I'll turn the sound off or try to fast forward, but it won't let me fast forward most of the time. You know, so, you know, immediately do these things.
So if we go back to be careful, little eyes, what you see, be careful, little ears, what you hear, you know, they're speaking those. And I'm not knocking anybody that works for any drug company. We all have jobs, and there's some good drugs out there. But, you know, those words are powerful, and you got to close off that gate and not let them in. So it's just like, so, you know, growing up, you know, my brothers always, you know, my friends, they wanted to do, oh, let's go watch a scary movie. Or let's go to the haunted house. Let's go to the haunted maze or the haunted forest. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I watch a scary movie, I have nightmares. You know, why would I want to let something into my mind that's going to give me nightmares? So why would I want to let all this garbage that the world is trying to give me into my mind to take me away from Christ? You know, so we got to be careful. I mean, there's just so many things, but I cannot do scary movies. I will be up all night. He'll be up all night because I'll keep him up all night because I won't be able to sleep. Every little noise, every little sound, I'm going to be jumping out of bed. So, you know, it's an active decision upon yourself to determine what is coming into your mind. You know, it is our decision to listen to that, to watch that, to see that, to be a part of it, to be in that area. Like if you knew that there was a lot of violence going on downtown at a certain area, there's going to be a rumble. We're going to go down to a rumble. Are you going to go? No. So why would you put yourself in danger? Why would you put yourself in a situation that you can get harmed? So just because you watch something or you see something may not physically harm you, it can spiritually harm you.
That's right.
That's what the devil uses, all these things to get to our spirit. It is a spiritual battle going on for our spirits. It's going on all around us. So that's why we need the word to fight that back and to renew it, daily renewing your mind. So, and that's in Ephesians 6:12, which I think we've read once already, but we'll do it again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So it's time that we rise up, number 8, time that we rise up and recognize who you truly are. You got to be bold and stand your ground. So 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
What?
That's how God views us. That's how powerful we are.
That's right.
Powerful. Powerful. And I mean, I'm preaching to myself up here because there's times that I'm not bold at all. And I need to be bold, like the lion. I need to stand my ground. And when someone says, oh, I'm just not feeling good, I got this headache. Well, I need to be, well, let me pray for you. You know, well, what's going on with you? Well, let me pray with you about that situation. Let me join my faith with your faith that this is a done deal, that you're healed, that you're not going to have these issues anymore. You know, let me help build you up. You know, when you help build someone else up, you build yourself up.
That's right.
You know, and I have to admit, I'm not the best at doing that, you know. And I know sometimes around here I'm running around crazy, you know, but just because I don't come up to you doesn't mean you can't come up to me. You know, sometimes I have blinders on and I'm really bad about that. So I apologize to everybody if you ever thought I wasn't approachable. Just come to me, you know, because I need to know, because I want to help build you guys up. I want to love on you. I want to pray for you. I want to be there for you guys, because you guys are always there for us.
Yes.
So when we agree and confess, number nine. Okay. When we agree with and confess the truth, that's like when you do declarations. And I love Pastor Kimberly. She does declarations.
Yes.
I love it. And, you know, Jennifer Costell, like Pastor Ina said this morning, you know, I love when she looks in the mirror. She goes, I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, I am blessed. I'm highly favored. Look at this. And she'll go to her husband, look how blessed you are. You know, God gave you me.
That's right.
You know, and Jennifer's always like, you got to, you know, strut yourself. You got to walk with a swagger. Hold your head up high, because you are royalty. Every single one of you in here is a child of God. You are kings and queens. You have authority. God has given us authority. We can cast the illness out, cast the demons out, raise the dead. You know, we need to walk like we can do that. Act like we can do it and do it.
That's right.
And do it. You know? So Philemon 1:6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. So we need to confess it.
That's right.
You know what? Even though my dad is in the hospital right now, he's healed.
That's right.
I'm just going to thank God and praise God for it, because I know he is healed. And we're just going to go ahead and confess it.
That's right.
Confess it. Anything that's going on with you right now, just confess it.
Yes.
I confess that, you know, we are going to be financially blessed. This is a new year. Everyone in here,
thank you, Jesus.
Let's just confess. God is going to bless our finances. We're going to have prosperity, because we're going to go out and do the kingdom's work. And God's going to make sure we have what we need to do it. So if you didn't get that, the fill-in for nine is powerful. When we agree with and confess the truth of God's word, it becomes powerful in our lives.
So yeah, confession is extremely important. So if you don't have something happening in your life, I read the word, but I'm not experiencing that, you need to start confessing it. You need to say, I agree, God, what you said is true. You know, by his stripes I was healed. I am blessed above all others. I am the head and not the tail. Always. I'm above and not beneath. Hallelujah. Keep confessing and saying, God, I agree with you. And what that does is it puts it in your heart, right? And then that's what you become. And that's what you receive. Because that's where faith comes from, is from the heart. So you get your word in your heart, then you, by faith, can walk in, receive, experience what God says. So number 10 says, study his word about you, about who you are. Ephesians 6:17, which I believe we read already, but and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We constantly need to be practicing, you know, the word of God. I was praying for the men of the church. I saw a vision. I saw three men. They all had swords, right? They all had, it looked like the same hilt in the receiver, where the sword goes in, all the same length. The first guy pulls out the sword, but the sword is only about maybe 6 inches. And I'm like, whoa, that's odd. The next guy comes, pulls his sword out, and it's about, you know, 12, 16 inches. And then the last guy comes out, just the full sheath. It's about 2.5-3 feet long. And I'm like, God, what is that? Well, that's the one who's read and practiced the word of God.
Yes.
The more we read, the more we study, the more we get that word in our heart. When the devil comes, we can react right? It doesn't take but just a little word to dispatch the devil. That short soul work will work. But you know what? We can dispatch a whole lot more when we have more of the Word of God. So it's important that we study so that we are ready and we are prepared when the devil comes to attack. So one thing, too, that is so important, and our sister kind of hinted on that earlier when she talked about, which is pray continually in the Spirit.
Yes.
That's praying in tongues, okay? You don't know how important it is that we do this. Let's read Ephesians 6:18. No, we've been right there in Ephesians 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What's that mean? Pray in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end. You need to be watchful about this, and you need to do this in perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to do this. We need to do this continually.
That's right.
All right? Because it builds us up. It strengthens us. It is part of what we need to do to be able to stand, right? We need to recognize, you know, Ephesians 6 is talking about, you know, we need to recognize who we're fighting against. You know, we need to gird ourselves. We need to put on the full armor of God. And the last thing, though, part of this is praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
If you really want to stand, this is something you need to add to what you're already doing. Because I know a lot of people probably I'm going to put the full armor of God on in the morning before I go out. But you know what? You also need to pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
Because that's also going to help you to stand. So let's see, Jude 1 and 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit allows you to tap into what God has put in your spirit, okay? If you're feeling down, start praying in the Spirit. If you feel lonely, start praying in the Spirit. If you don't have the answer to a problem, you start praying in the Spirit. If your family's having problems and you don't know exactly how to pray, you pray in the Spirit. Okay? This is a powerful weapon that God has given us. Use it on purpose. Every day, pray in the Spirit. This is going to help you to stand, be strong in every way and in every occasion. Okay? Not just for you, but you're doing this also for your brothers and your sisters.
So another way that we can change, all these things are just different ways that you can change your identity to line up with Christ. You know, we talked about, you know, rise up and recognize who you truly are. Agree and confess the truth, declaring it, speaking it, studying His Word, the truth in His Word, and trying to live it out, and praying continually in the Spirit. But I also feel like you need to have a close friendship. Pour into a close friendship. Hold each other accountable. It's like, you know, I have Tim. He holds me accountable. I hold him accountable. He's my best friend. I share with him. He shares with me. But sometimes I need a girlfriend to share with, you know, I need a sister. And sometimes he needs a brother. So we're not saying, you know, I'm not going to go out and seek another, you know, another brother to share with, and he's not going to go out and seek a sister to share with. We're not encouraging that at all. Don't get me wrong. But I've got sisters in this church that I share with, you know, I hold them accountable. They hold me accountable. And, you know, in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So who's the funny guy, the pastor, the funny guy? Ronnie, I know you know this answer. From New Orleans?
Jesse
DePlantis. He made a comment. I was listening to one of his things, and I love this story. He was home by himself. His wife was gone, and they never cook. He goes, "We never cook. We just pick up something, eat out, bring it home." He goes, "But I was by myself. It was late. I didn't want to go out. So I found a can of Vienna sausages in the pantry." So he goes, "I ate those. It was kind of questionable. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. And oh, I got so sick." He goes, "I was so sick. Oh, I don't know. I was so sick. And I heard the devil say, 'You don't have your second person with you.' You know, because the Bible says we're two or more gathered. It's just you're on your own. What are you going to do now?" He goes, "I felt like I was on my deathbed. I was so sick. Oh, I was so sick. And I just like, no, I'm not by myself. I've got the Father. I got the Son. I got the Holy Spirit. That's four people.
Yeah.
We're taking you down, devil." So whenever you're by yourself and you're praying in any tongues, and you don't think you have anybody with you and you're by yourself, you got three more with you.
Yeah.
Three more. You are not by yourself. You are not alone. But that's why you also need that brother or that sister that you can confide in, that you can hold each other accountable. You lift each other up. Because if you look at verse 1 Corinthians 12:26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So just like, you know, I'm up here, I shared about my dad because I know my brothers and sisters are going to join with me and pray for me and pray for him.
And encourage
you. And encourage me. Like the sisters, I had several sisters pray for me this morning before encouraging me, lifting me up, that, you know, that's what I needed because I was an emotional wreck this morning. I couldn't talk to anybody without crying. I was an emotional wreck. But that's what we're here for. We build each other up. We lean on each other. You know, we encourage each other. And when one of us is hurting, we all hurt. You know, we've had some things happen in this church that if someone is hurting, we all hurt. But you know, we have some rejoicing too. And when one person rejoices, we all rejoice. You know, that's what a family does. You know, and the enemy tries to tell us, you want to belong. Everybody wants to belong to something. You want to be a part of something. And so the enemy tries to get you to belong to all this stuff out there in the world because they're like, this is where you belong. We love you for who you are. We will help you be what you want to be. We will encourage you to do whatever you want to do. Because you know what? It's the next big movement. You know, they want to be a part of something big. But they haven't seen the truth. What is bigger than the kingdom of heaven? What is bigger than, you know, pursuing what God has for you? He's got great and amazing things for each one of us in this room. Amazing things. So we've talked about how the world sees us and how we see ourselves. Now let's talk about how God sees us. So at the bottom of your sheet, I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. The first one, God sees us as loved. Yes. And that's John 3:16, which you all know. B, God sees us as his kids. Oh my gosh, my daddy is God, the King of Kings.
Amen. Thank you.
Now,
Lord,
that is something to brag about. So when you get in one of those popularity battles with your coworkers or your friends or whoever, you'd be like, yeah, you might be friends with George Brett and George Clooney, but my daddy is the King of Kings. You know, what can be more powerful than that? You know, God sees us as priests and royalty because he is the King of Kings. I am a queen. You know, God sees us as full of joy and peace because that's what we need to portray to the world. When we walk around, they're going to see us full of joy and full of peace. And they're going to be like, why are you always so joyful? Why are you always, you just have so much peace. You never get like angry or upset. Thank God. It's because he's got Christ living on the inside of him. Yeah. That's who he is walking in the steps that Christ has put before him. God sees us as rulers in this life through Christ. We are rulers here.
That's right.
We have been placed here for a purpose and for a reason.
Yeah.
He sees us as new creations. Again, you know, the devil tries to say, you will never amount to anything. Remember, Pastor? Remember when he broke those windows? You think God ever forgave you for that? You know, he's going to bring every little thing back up. But when you turn your life over to God, and you're like, oh, God, remember what I did? He's going like, remember what? I already forgave you for that and forgot about it. It's as far as the east is from the west. Which, have you ever tried to measure, like, you go, keep going east, and you keep going west, they never touch. So it's done. The past is the past. Leave it in the past.
That's right.
I'm good about going back to the cross and trying to take it back, but you got to remember, he already took care of it, so it's not there anymore.
That's right.
So don't try to take it back. God sees us as made on purpose. You know, that's another thing. When I was born, my brother is only like 14 months older than me. So I was an accident. You know. But I was made for a purpose.
That's right.
You
God wasn't surprised at all.
And so I was a surprise, not an accident. surprise to my parents, but God knew that I was coming even before my mom and dad were born.
That's right.
He had a purpose for me even before they were born. So growing up, I was always like, well, you were the accident. You were the accident. No, I was created with a purpose. I was made for a purpose. And God's going to use me in mighty ways. Just like, you know, I put all the verses by those, but, you know, 1 John 4:4, which I don't think is in your notes, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So no matter what anybody says, your identity is worth fighting for.
Amen.
And if you need help fighting, you have a family here.
That's right. You have
You've
a
got
family.
Brothers and sisters. You have amazing shepherds. We have amazing teachers. We have people in here who will stand by your side, pray with you, help you, encourage you, lift you up. So you don't have to fight for your identity by yourself. You know, we are an army.
That's right.
And we'll fight with you. Just like the goodness of God is running after me, God is running after you.
That's right.
You know, all my life, he has been faithful. He's a father. He's a friend. You know, that's all it is. He's our father. He's our friend. He's our confidant. He's everything. So your identity is worth fighting for.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're eagles, not chickens. So act like it. We love you guys.
Excellent job. Beautiful. Praise God. I'd like our altar team to get ready to come on down. Yeah, Peter.
Okay, there was one thing the Holy Spirit brought up. Well, there were many things, but there was one thing in particular that the Holy Spirit brought up, and I wanted to let everybody know this one. I am just like the I am that made me who I am. Sweet.
This is a guy who knows who he is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How many here know who you are in Christ? Woo! Beautiful. Woo! Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. You know, the very first thing that the Father did when he introduced Jesus to the people around him, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And when he went out to be tempted, what was the first thing the enemy said to him? "If you are the Son of God." Went right after his identity. How many know that the enemy will try to do the same thing with us? Great words. Wow. All right. Let's all stand, and we're going to just speak over you and bless you. Altar team, come on down. If you have a need of any kind, you'd like prayer for anything, the team is here for you.